Hi, this is Susie Larson. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast of Live the Promise. You know, shows like this are made possible because of your continued support of Faith Radio. To learn more, please check out our website at myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope you've had a great week thus far. Well, this is a very important hour, and I'm so glad you're listening today, because on the first Wednesday of every month, we have our good friend Craig Von Buzik in to pray the news, to look at some of the top news items, and to look at them through a redemptive lens, because as Christ followers, we can do more than fret. We can do more than get angry and shake our fist and rant and rage. We can pray, and God gives us promises that we can pray. And the Bible says his promises are actually backed by the honor of his name. So it matters how we view what's going on in our day. And I can't think of anybody better than Craig to talk to about this, because he's a journalist, he's a reporter, he's a theologian, he's a historian, and he's a humble man of God and a dear brother. So I'll get him on in just a moment. Second hour, we've got something fun planned for you. We've done this before and you've asked us to bring it back. We're doing a spiritual reset where you're actually my guest. And so I pray if you're able to tune in for that second hour, you can get some place where you're not distracted. If you're driving in a car, that's great. But if you're at home, pull out a journal or something. I'm going to play some songs. We're going to just look at ways we lose perspective. We're going to find perspective again. And then these different songs, just a time for you to pray and reset your heart. And so I'm counting on you. I want to hear from you. We'll open the phone lines up as well. And so here's a question for you before I get Craig on. What news items are you praying over today? Not what news items are you fretting over, but what news items have you brought to the Lord in prayer? Just think about that for a minute. Let me tell you about Craig, and we'll get him on the show. Craig Von Buzik is an author, speaker, and contributing writer, and former producer for CBN.com, the official website of the Christian Broadcasting Network. His books include Praying the News and Nobody Knows, the Harry T. Burleigh Story. You can find his influencer page on our website at myfaithradio.com. Brother Craig, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Susie, it's always good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you know the drill. Let's start out talking scripture. Is there a verse that God's been speaking to you about these days?
Yeah, he really put on my heart the scripture from Romans 12, 17 and 18 from the New American Standard Bible. And it says, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Act what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. I think that that verse speaks to our nation right now in what has been going on in Baltimore, in Ferguson, and the riots have spread to New York City and to other places across the country. So now is a time, I think, for everyone in this country to reassess what does it mean to love thy neighbor, as Jesus spoke about in the parable of the Good Samaritan. Who is my neighbor? Well, my neighbor is anyone that I come in contact with. And this scripture says that as far as it depends on you, not on them, not on what they did, but on you, be at peace with all. And that can only come as a result of the amazing grace of God as we walk closely with him, as we walk in relationship with him on a daily basis and cry out to him and say, Lord, I am weak, but you are strong. You are my sufficiency. So help me. You said to love. You know that. We just have gone through the Easter season recently, and on Thursday, Christians celebrate what is called Maundy Thursday, and many people wonder, what in the world does Maundy mean? Well, Maundy is the original word, the root word for the word command, commande, command, and it was from the Last Supper where Jesus said, this command I give you, love one another. It's not a suggestion. It's not, well, this is probably a good idea. This is one of the steps to take to success. No, Jesus, who is Lord, who is about to go to the cross to die for all of our sins, said, this command I give you, love one another. So this is what sets Christianity apart from all other religions, is we're not just to say, well, yeah, we want to find a way to work together with other people. Jesus commands us to love, and so we need to seek that, seek peace, and pursue it.
Amen. When you think about it, Craig, we really rarely have had our faith challenged in this blessed country up to this point. We've had wealth. We've had freedom. When we look at our persecuted brothers and sisters, they've lost rights. They've been infringed upon. And yet that's where Christianity explodes. And their faith is so boiled down to, you know, life on earth is short, eternity is long, and Jesus is my Savior, and I'll die for him if I have to. I love not my life even unto death. And I feel like one of the reasons we're seeing such rage among Christians in our nation, and of course there's things to be alarmed about, but the rage that translates into meanness is because toes are being stepped on. And that is true. But we've not, I don't feel like up to this point, had to pay a huge price for following Christ. So what is it going to come out of us when our toes are stepped on? How are we going to love? Are people going to see the ugliest parts of our soul because our rights matter? Matter more than the souls of those who are stealing our rights, you know?
Right. And if that is the case, if we're focused on our rights, then that's not love. Because love always puts the other person first and looks for the best as possible, you know, in that situation. How can we build bridges of understanding rather than walls of division? And many people in the church today are all about building walls of division, saying, well, I'm right and you're wrong. Well, the truth of the matter is that Jesus didn't command right. He commanded us to be his witnesses, to reflect his love in the earth. And that's why this segment that we put together is called Grace and Truth, because Jesus, in John chapter 1, the Apostle John wrote that Jesus came to the earth in grace first and then truth second. And so those who would put truth first build walls. Those who put grace first and then say, but I still am going to walk in the truth. I'm going to uphold the truth, but I'm going to do it from a standpoint of grace and love and seeking peace. They're the ones who are bridge builders. And we need to have the bridge builders arise in this day.
Amen. And that's really where we came up with that. I mean, it's in Scripture, the grace and truth. But as far as calling this monthly edition with you, Grace and Truth with Craig Von Buzek, is because we wanted to just, you know, present a biblical option for looking at some of the things that are going on in this world today. And you had a friend who was just all truth but no grace, and everything fell apart around him because he felt like, I'm the vigilant, you know, truth keeper, but he had no love and didn't have grace. And so there's got to be a way, even as things implode around us, to keep the grace lens, you know, with the truth lens. And speaking of which, Craig, you've got now a show on our network. And before we get into some of the top news items, we got to talk about this because this launched this last month and it's on the weekends. Talk about your show a little bit.
Well, I'm so honored and blessed to be a part of the Faith Radio Network. And it is an exciting extension of what you started by inviting me on your program. And so we actually do call it Grace of Truth. And it's a half-hour program where we look at some of the hot-button political issues, some of the leading lines, as we like to say in journalism, and we examine them from a biblical perspective, from a perspective of grace, but also upholding the truth. And then at the end of every program, just like we do with your show, we end by praying the news, meaning that, and that's taken from a book that I wrote with co-author Wendy Griffith of the 700 Club, where we talked about the importance of people, instead of being afraid they're looking at the news or angry or confused or whatever, to approach the news from the perspective of saying, all right, I'm listening to the Holy Spirit as I'm watching the news. I'm going to be God's agent in this situation, that as I watch something and the Holy Spirit prompts me to pray, I'm going to pray for that thing. That's called praying the news. And so at the end of every program, that's what we do, and we just ask that God's kingdom would come and his will would be done in those situations. And it's been fun, a really fun show.
And it airs, give us the day and the time on the weekend.
It airs every Saturday at 4 o'clock Eastern Time, which is 3 o'clock Central Time.
Excellent. So that should be easy to remember. And one of the stories in your book, Praying the News, you talk about a woman who felt especially burdened, I think if I remember right, to pray for her niece and spouse or whatever living in New York.
That's right.
Could get them out of her mind. I kept praying. This was before 9/11. And long story short, 9/11 happened. And the Lord really created a detour for them. And they were one of those blessed people that were not killed in that, where they could have been in the Twin Towers. And I say that only because I've had such a sense, and I've said it on the show before, that something is coming to this nation. And I've been praying. But now is the time, rather than shaking our fist and shouting at the dark, it's time to shine the light, and it's time to pray, like we have a God in heaven who answers our prayers. Say just a word about that. If people are discerning something's coming, how truly they could impact how this story unfolds by their prayers.
Absolutely, and you are not alone. I have been seeing in the last 3 months or so a glowing a rising tide of Christian leaders like yourself who are saying something is coming, we need to be praying. Franklin Graham, Pat Robertson, Gordon Robertson, his son, and other Christian leaders have been saying this is a time for Christians to rise up and to be praying. And so there is something that's stirring in the spirit. And last week we saw an attack in Texas. Just this week, an attack in Texas that was orchestrated by ISIS. And an ISIS operative traveled from Arizona to Texas to, have an attack on this. It was basically a cartoon type of conference, but these people had been doing cartoons of Muhammad, which, of course, made these radical Islamists very angry. And so they came, they attacked. Fortunately, the police were ready, and these attackers were killed in the attack. But this is just the beginning of things that we all sense are getting ready to break loose here on our shores. And so it is vitally important that we be praying on a daily basis, praying that the Lord would direct us by His Spirit, which He promises to do. Psalm 37 23 and 24, the steps of the righteous are ordered of the Lord, and He delights in our way. That's the promise. Then the second part of that is verse 24 that says, even if I stumble, that's our safety net. If I stumble, He will hold me with His right hand. And so we can stand on these promises and say, Lord, for myself, for my family, for my extended family, for the church, in this community and in this nation, Lord, I pray that you would guide us, that you would direct us, that we would, the book of Isaiah says, you hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Holy Spirit, I ask you that you would speak to me and say, this is the way, walk ye in it. And this is something, Susie, that I think is very important. Some people have approached the Holy Spirit as kind of like the Force in Star Wars or something like that, some sort of a massive electrical surge. But the wonderful thing that the Scripture shows is the Holy Spirit is a person. We serve a personal God. That's why in the book of Acts, when they were praying there in Antioch, the Holy Spirit was poured out on Jews and Gentiles alike, and the early church sent Barnabas there to be a pastor in Antioch and to raise up these people in the way of truth. And it said they were praying and fasting, and the Holy Spirit said, separate unto me Barnabas and Paul for this missionary journey. It didn't say Jesus said. It didn't say the Father said. It said the Holy Spirit said. And so we need to recognize that we can call on the Holy Spirit and say, Jesus said the Holy Spirit would be sent and would guide us into all truth. So Holy Spirit, this day, guide me, guide my children, direct us, help us to know the way to go, and protect us. Send forth your angels to watch over, as you promised that you would, and help us to walk in your way, in your will, and in your purpose, in Jesus' name. Mm,
amen. And so when you pray that, and if the Lord happens to wake you up and ask you to pray for somebody, and you think it's just the oddest thing in the world, this is a day to be cupping that ear towards heaven, listening to what the Lord would say, and then doing what He says, even if it defies your sensibilities. This is the day we're amen. In, where we need to be tender and teachable and interruptible. Well, Craig, we got a listener emailed us this email after last month's discussion, and I want to just read what they wrote and then have your thoughts on it. This listener wrote, I resonated with today's message about praying the news. If you want to walk on water, you've got to get out of the boat. John Ortberg tells of a new Christian named Bob who's excited to see how God answers prayer. Doug Coe, Ministry to Politicians in Washington, D.C., challenged him to pray for one place for 6 months. Bob chose Kenya. And if God didn't do something great by the end, Doug would pay him $500. By the end of the 6 months, Bob had visited Kenya twice, had been invited by the president of Kenya to come and pray while he chose a new cabinet. Much money had been donated to the orphanage, and a long-term political prisoner had been released because Bob told the head of the State Department they should be. So I began my six-month commitment last week to pray every day for Russia, Vladimir Putin, and other national leaders, and the Christians in Russia. I'm also praying for Ukraine, where I have many friends from many mission trips to Lysanka. I'm waiting to see what God will do, and I'd love for many others to join me in this six-month commitment. I love this. Talk about that, if you would, just your thoughts on it.
Oh, man, I've got Holy Ghost goosebumps all over me. That is so exciting, and I just want to commend this listener. Go for it, brother. This is exciting. This is exactly what Susie and I are talking about, not just to be a hearer of the word, but to be a doer of the word. James says, in the book of James, it says, faith without works is dead. And this is the balance that we walk as believers. On the one hand, we walk by grace through faith, and we know that's our salvation. But the very next verse there in Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says, and you were created for good works that you should walk in. So we're not working for our salvation. That's been done because of what Jesus did. However, when we are saved, then God creates good works for us to walk in as a purpose of being a reflection of his love and being a what the Apostle Paul called in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a minister of reconciliation. And then he says why we are ministers of reconciliation, because God is at work reconciling sinful men to himself. So this is so exciting, and it reminds me of a story from the Praying the News book that I shared. A friend of mine from CBN, a man named Jay, is just a wonderful man of prayer, and the Lord will have him go to various places. The Holy Spirit will speak to his heart and say, I want you to go here or go there, and I want you to pray for this amount of time. Sounds very similar to what Bob has been doing. And so in this particular season, the Holy Spirit told this man, Jay, to go to the Supreme Court in Washington, D.C., and to pray at the gates of the Supreme Court, at the front doors. Now, I knew nothing about what was happening with Jay. We were friends, but he had not told me this, and he had just gone on his own. He actually had taken a week of his vacation just to go and pray from morning to night in front of the Supreme Court in obedience to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Well, my children and I were on vacation, and we decided on our way up to Pennsylvania to visit my parents that we'd stop and spend a day in Washington, D.C. And we saw the sights, and we went on a tour, and we did this, and we did that. And as we were getting ready to leave, we were walking across Capitol Hill to go to our metro stop, and I look over to the left, and there's my buddy Jay in front of the Supreme Court. And I'm like, I walked up behind him, and I said, brother, I think this might be a divine appointment, not knowing at all what was going on. And he looked at me, and his eyes got like saucers. He said, brother, the Holy Spirit sent me here to pray, and he sent you here to pray. And so we walked together up to the doors of the Supreme Court, and my son was behind me taking pictures of this, and we actually have a photograph of this in the Praying the News book. And we laid our hands on the door of the Supreme Court, and we prayed, your will be done, God. Whatever is going on here, we pray that you would intervene and you would have your will in your way. And right after that was there were, you know, several major decisions that came down. But also that was when Justice Roberts was appointed to the bench when Sandra Day O'Connor stepped down and so forth. And so it was a key moment. We didn't know what was about to happen, but God knew. And he brought us together for that purpose in the same way that he has sent Bob to do this mission. But it all has to be bathed with prayer. Every ministry that exists is upheld by the prayer of God's people, and we have to keep that as our focus.
Ah, awesome. Okay, let's talk about the riots in Baltimore. Tell us about Freddie Gray and what you know about what sparked the unrest there.
Well, this is one of these cases where we are seeing a difficulty that is happening across the country with regard to the training, I believe, in our police training centers. And what has happened here is that there was excessive, it seems that there was excessive force that was brought against Freddie Gray, and it broke his neck. And these police officers that were involved have been indicted, and they're going to go to trial. One of them has been indicted for second-degree murder charges. And these are serious charges. And when Freddie Gray passed away, the city of Baltimore erupted in violence. And that is a tragedy. In a way, it's understandable. There's frustration because there's a feeling that in cities across the United States, there's excessive force. There's also frustration on the side of the police because in cities across America, they feel like there's anarchy, that the citizens are out of control, that there is so much violence, it's so dangerous. And so, you know, you've got this powder keg that's been brewing in our cities, and our leadership, our political leadership on all levels of government, local, state, national, countywide, and so forth, there needs to be a true assessment and soul searching of what's going on in our nation and in these cities, because there's a problem on both sides. And the problem on each side exasperates the problem on the other side. And so we have a major challenge before us. And you talk about the need for prayer. This is where we need to have prayer in our inner cities right now, because you've got police officers who are not paid the highest salary, and they are being they're facing injury and even death on a daily basis in a very dangerous situation. They don't feel like they're being supported. They don't feel like the community is supporting them. And so this is a time, and that's why I share that scripture. As much as it depends on each of us as individuals, live at peace, strive to live at peace with one another, and look for ways to bring reconciliation, bring understanding. And the problem that we've seen here and in Ferguson and other places is that the people in these inner city communities, when they feel they've been threatened and their rights have been taken away, they will riot. But the problem is that they're rioting in their own community, and they're burning down their own businesses. And what happens is they set back their own communities maybe 10 years, maybe 15 or 20 years. It will take 10 years probably in these neighborhoods in Baltimore to come back. And the reason is that when they set fire to their own businesses, when they steal and rob and pillage from their own businesses in their own neighborhoods, it drives those businesses away. Because business people recognize, they say, you know, I want to help, I want to be a part, but I also have to make a living. And if I go into this community, what's to say in 5 years that the same thing won't happen all over again, and I'll lose everything? So instead of going in and investing in that community, they flee from the community, and those communities end up with vacant storefronts for years and years and years. So it's a real problem, and we need to be in prayer for the people of Baltimore, for the people of Ferguson, and for our nation's leaders, that they would have wisdom.
There's so many things I want to ask you about. We have about a couple minutes before we have to take a break, but let's start with the law enforcement. I mean, we have to pray for one that corruption would be removed from anybody in any position of power and leadership. I just think that, Lord, move in their hearts or move them out, because, you know, one bad apple ruins it for all these honest, sincere people who are trying to enforce the law to protect the innocent. And you can imagine what an uphill climb it feels like for them. I mean, truly, where they're like, I got into law enforcement to help, you know, keep a just society, but to be constantly with a broad stroke brush, you know, painting all law enforcement as corrupt and power mongers is wrong. And then you can see where it would make their hearts despair, the ones who got into it for the right reason, you know?
Yes, absolutely. And then in Baltimore specifically, there was a problem that the mayor actually put a leash on the police during the beginnings of these riots. And she basically said, her name is Mayor Stephanie Rawlings Blake, she said, allow them to let off some steam. And so the police had to stand back and not protect the citizens, not protect the businesses. They had to watch as all kinds of crimes were being committed and millions of dollars were being just set ablaze or stolen. And so there has been a huge outcry across the country. Alveda King, the niece of Martin Luther King, has called for Mayor Rawlings Blake to resign. Now, of course, she's fighting back and saying, you misunderstood me, that's not what I meant. And she's actually just today, she called on the Justice Department to conduct a civil rights investigation into the city's police department to see if there were patterns of abuse or discrimination that have been happening there that have caused this to take place.
I have to jump in,
and,
Craig. We've got to take a hard break. Yeah. Sorry. When we come back, let's talk more about how we can pray. Don't go away. More with Craig Von Buzek in a minute.
So speak life, speak life, to the deadest, darkest night. Speak life, speak life, when the sun won't shine and you don't know why. Look into the eyes of the brokenhearted, watch them come alive as soon as you speak hope, you speak love, you speak. You speak life.
Have you thought about the impact and the power of your words and your prayers? If you are in Christ, you're a new creation. The Holy Spirit resides in you. And Francis Frangipane once said that we have an accuser of the brethren, and he accuses us day and night. We have Jesus, our Savior and intercessor. He intercedes day and night. And we're the ones, really, who either get in one line or the other. And so when you look at what's going on in the news, when you look at maybe people who bother you, do you get in line behind the accuser and stand in agreement with all the things you don't like about them? Or do you get in line with Jesus, the intercessor, and say, I'm going to, as Bible says, I'm not going to regard anybody from a worldly point of view. Lord, give me a redemptive perspective. I'm called to speak life, to pray life, to stand for life. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to my good friend Craig Von Buzek. He's on once a month for Grace and Truth with Craig Von Buzek. He's also got his own show on Faith Radio Network on the weekends. And the whole goal is to look at what's going on in our world through a redemptive lens, because we can do something more than shouting at the darkness and shaking our fists, which we have better things to do. We can pray. We can stand. We can fast. And before the break, Craig, we were talking about the riots in Baltimore, and you were saying how when people are raising up in feeling like such an injustice has happened, and there are corrupt law enforcement officials, that's true, but there's also very good ones who care about the innocent and
that's
about
right.
justice. But
right.
when people in response trash their city, and they send their city back a decade at least in millions of dollars, and it makes suddenly their very place, they're complaining, this is not a safe place, and they're making it a less safe place. So if we could talk about a few prayer points before we move on to the next news item, I want you to just talk about the corruption that does make especially minority groups feel unsafe. How do you pray about that when, you know, that corruption would be removed from people in places of power? How else do you suggest praying?
Yeah. Well, as we were saying just before the break, the mayor of Baltimore has gone to our new Attorney General, Loretta Lynch, and has asked for her to start an investigation into patterns of abuse and discrimination there in the Baltimore police. And so we need, as believers, to realize that there is both a spiritual element to what God would have us to do, which you were speaking of with prayer, with fasting, with love, with words of encouragement. But then there's also the physical aspect, and that is getting involved and acting. So we pray and we act. And so I think that there needs to be more Bible-believing Christians who will say, you know what, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to go into the inner cities. It's like across America, we have these donuts of prosperity around our cities, and then there's an empty hole in the middle of many of these cities. Now, there are some neighborhoods that are, quote-unquote, gentrified, but then you just go a couple blocks, and it's like a war zone. And so we need to realize that if there are innocent people living in these neighborhoods, and we're only a few blocks away living in opulence, living more rich than anyone in the history of the world has ever lived, then there's something that's not right. There's not justice in our society. And we can't just say, well, the government's got to take care of it. No, the church needs to be involved. We need to be involved as individuals, as citizens. But we also need to have believers who will get involved in government. So, you know, there's the whole concept of the different mountains of influence in society, law, government, business, communication, the world of Hollywood and so forth, education, military. These are areas of power that help control, that control our society. We need to have Bible-believing Christians who will say, God, which of these mountains do you want me to climb? Which of them do you want me to take? And where do you want me to pull up to the table in the marketplace of ideas and to represent the biblical worldview? You and I are doing that in the media. Other people who are listening right now, God is speaking to them even right now and saying, you need to get involved in government. You need to get involved in business. You need to get involved as a community activist, as someone involved in the social issues of the community on a local level, on a regional level, and so on and so forth. So we need to be praying, yes, but also need to find a way to act. And if that means going and attending a university, a Christian university, and getting trained, going through internships at your state capital, your local government officials, or at our nation's capital, then that's what you need to do. Pray about it. Seek godly counsel for confirmation. But if God has put this on your heart, and if this is burning in your heart, even as I'm speaking, go and act.
Excellent. One last thought about prayer regarding the riots and the anarchy. How do you pray about those who are acting out because they feel, I mean, I feel like there might be some who are just in their core feeling like this is so unjust and they're out of their heads. But others, when you just sort of watch the interview, some of them are just on a bandwagon and they can't even articulate what they're mad about. You know what I'm saying? Because we have a groupthink mentality in so many aspects of our culture where people will jump on a bandwagon, but they can't even really defend the cause that they're so mad about. I mean, and I'm not making light of those who truly feel like this is an atrocity. But how do you pray? Because the anarchy piece just makes the whole, it destabilizes our whole system.
Well, and that's exactly correct. There has to be law in a civilized society. And so we are a nation that is based on laws, on jurisprudence, and on the balance of power that was set forth by our founding fathers. And so there has to be not only the law, but there needs to be the enforcement of the law. But we need to have it people who are people of character, people who are people of compassion in these areas of government leadership and in police enforcement, so that those other people on the other side will see that these people care about them and it's not us against them, but it's, you know, us all together in a community. Having said that, however, there are breaking the law us, and there is a large number of people in our country, sadly to say, who just have either been so frustrated or who just, you know, have given in to the evil one and who have said, I don't care about the laws, I'm in it for myself. Those people have to be policed and brought to justice if they are breaking the law and if they are harming other people and other people's property. And so there's a balancing act that we always have to walk in. We call it truth in tension. It's just like the Golden Gate Bridge. When you look at that bridge, you see those two towers, and the two towers are the two sides of the truth. And then those wires in between uphold the bridge so that people can cross it. That's the way it is with so much truth in our world, that there are two truths that are balanced together by these two tall towers. And that is where I believe we find wisdom and safety in society.
Wow. And I heard a sound, Craig. I couldn't tell if that was your battery dying. Do you need to grab a cord for your phone? I'm just saying this on live radio. You got to love it. But are you okay battery-wise?
I think so.
Okay.
Yes, I think we're all right.
I heard a familiar sound, and I'm like, I recognize that sound. I've been there.
No,
before.
I just looked, and I'm good on battery.
Very, very good.
It must have been somebody else's battery.
Perfect. Perfect. That's good. Okay. Let's talk for a moment about Nepal, the earthquake on April 25th. Who was affected? Say more about the impact of that tragedy.
In my lifetime, I can't think of an earthquake that has taken more victims. Maybe I'm forgetting, but we've now passed 7,500 deaths, and there are still massive amounts of people missing. So that number more than likely is going to just continue to rise because there is rubble everywhere. It's hard to even fathom, but there are crews that are digging through collapsed buildings. There are landslides that have covered entire villages. I mean, it's hard to imagine. I mean, we saw the executive from Google who was climbing one of the mountains there. I think it was Mount Everest. And when the earthquake took place, there was a huge avalanche, and he was killed.
Wow.
And that's just an example, one of thousands and thousands of people who were killed in rock slides, avalanches, buildings collapsing. It is, it's mind-boggling. So the estimates right now are there are 14,500 injured. More than 7,500 people have been found to be dead, but there are still thousands of others who are missing. And so, you know, 2 million children have been affected, and there are many, many people who are displaced. Their homes are, you can't live there anymore. And so what's happening is that people from around the world have responded, and that's good. And there has been all kinds of aid, food, and other things that have been sent to Nepal. The problem is that Nepal doesn't have the infrastructure to now distribute it to the people in need, which is the big frustration. So you have people who are starving, even though the Kathmandu airport, which is the only international airport in the country, is overflowing with aid that has come in from all around the world. So the United States has sent in they call them Ospreys. It's a tilt rotor type of vehicle where they're able to work as both an airplane and a helicopter, which is perfect for this kind of situation. And what they're trying to do is to bring relief supplies into the places of most need. And one of the generals there, his name is General Paul Kennedy. He said that we've got relief supplies, especially shelter. Most people don't understand that shelter is the most pressing need. You know, you think food, you think medicine, but when you have had so many of these houses just crumble, these people are living out in the elements. And so the United States military is helping to get shelters into these communities and get them set up so the people are out from under the elements. So it is a very tragic situation. And again, it's a place for us to be praying, but it's also a place where we can act, where the church can act to support groups like Operation Blessing and groups like Samaritan's Purse. You know, having worked at the Christian Broadcasting Network, which is the parent of Operation Blessing, one of the world's leading humanitarian organizations, I know that they are always there. Anytime there's a situation like this, Operation Blessing, Samaritan's Purse, the Salvation Army, the cool thing about these groups is because they're Christians, they all work together. It's so fun. I've actually been on the scene where I've seen there's the Salvation Army people coming in, and Operation Blessing are loading their stuff into the OB trucks, and then Samaritan's Purse has a you know, headquarters set up with tents that are taking the stuff that OB and you know, Salvation Army are bringing together. It's so cool. So get involved, find a way to support one of these organizations or another one that is on your heart. But this is a way to act, but also be praying for the people of Nepal.
So we at least know that Operation Blessing and Samaritan's Purse are on the ground there even right now. And so check out those ministries, but that's a way you can act and get involved. I remember, Craig, when the Haiti earthquake happened, how we heard stories of children being trafficked because they were orphaned and vans were coming in, and the workers were so reeling from the shock of it all that when these kids would be hauled away, they just thought they were being taken to an orphanage and find out later they were trafficked. I mean, truly that woke me up at night many nights in a row. So this is another point of prayer that we would pray not only for the relief workers, God would protect them, use them, mobilize them, multiply their ability, but also to protect the vulnerable, those who've been orphaned, because this is when wicked people rise up and leverage opportunities. So wouldn't you say that's another way we can be praying in this situation?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is something that, thank God, that in the last decade there has been such an increased awareness of the problem of human trafficking that we're starting to realize that this is something that is a worldwide epidemic, and that there is as much slavery in the world today as there was at the time of the Civil War. It's just illegal now. Back then it was legal, now it's illegal. And so we need to realize that this is happening. And again, this is a place for young people who are listening to this program to say, how can I get involved? Well, you can get involved with raising awareness about human trafficking. Or you might get trained on how to be a part of a humanitarian organization like Samaritan's Purse, like Operation Blessing, like the Salvation Army. I know, having worked with Operation Blessing on the ground, I mean, I was there on the ground in New Orleans during right after Hurricane Katrina. I traveled with the medical teams from Operation Blessing to Mexico and so forth. These people, they watch. So you want to talk about the news? They watch the news and they anticipate what's coming. They know when a hurricane's coming. They know when it's tornado season. When there are problems with tsunamis and earthquakes and so forth, they already are prepared with warehouses in key parts of the world. That was one of the most amazing things that happened back when the big tsunami hit in India and Indonesia and those parts, that part of the world there about 10 years ago, was that Operation Blessing was the first organization that was non-government on the ground working with the Muslim nation of Indonesia. And they went into places that where Al-Qaeda was in power. Here were Christians coming in to where Al-Qaeda was in power and bringing blood, bringing supplies, bringing food, medical supplies, and so forth, and blessing these radical Islamic Muslims. And the Muslims, I mean, they were devastated. Their communities were totally devastated. There were thousands of people who had been killed. And so instead of this, you know, terrorism that had been happening only days before, all of a sudden they're opening their doors, opening the tents, opening their villages to Christians to come in and help them. And that was where these Christians went into Al-Qaeda villages and showed them the love of Jesus, and it blew them away.
Wow.
This is a way that somebody who's listening today can get involved in something that is practical and tangible to make a real difference in the world today for the kingdom of God.
And that's a faith hero for you right there. You know, we celebrate, we look at faith heroes as people who have a big successful ministry platform, but a person who would love not their life even unto death and go do something like that, that's the hero you want to celebrate. I'm just saying. But another thing that struck me, Craig, is you're talking about these ministries. They're watching weather reports. They're watching news reports. They're watching social climates and being prepared to get in a case of a tragedy of something happening. How much more, as Christ followers, when the Bible does say that he confides in those who fear him, he tells us things that the rest of the world misses. I mean, if there was ever a day that we should keep our ear bent towards heaven to say, just like Operation Blessing watches the culture, the climate, the weather, so they can, and they store up, you know, and are ready to be on the mark and to help. How much more can we do this as individuals where we say, Lord, I want to have my finger on the pulse of what's going on in my city so that I can be first on the ground to help, and rather than going about my business with my head in the clouds as if this isn't coming to our shores. I mean, just say a word about how we, not living in fear, but I'm saying living in a discerning way where we're prepared and ready to be his hands and feet when the need is in front of us.
Well, I spoke about Hurricane Katrina. One of my friends from Operation Blessing, I was amazed at this. He went down and checked himself into a hotel in New Orleans before the hurricane hit because he knew he had to be on the ground. He knew it was coming, and he knew he had to be on the ground coordinating things once it hit. So he actually weathered Hurricane Katrina in a hotel in New Orleans. Now, that's the kind of preparation and foresight that we as the church need to rise to, as you're saying. We need to be saying, Lord, I don't want to be just reactionary. So many times the church is reactionary to situations, whether it be a natural disaster or a riot in the city or a problem when businesses fail and when we have economic slowdowns in our nation, whatever it may be, human trafficking, you name it. So many times we're reactionary when what God wants us to do is to seek him and to say, Lord, you've called me to this thing, whatever it is, whatever mountain that we had talked about earlier of power in the nation, in a culture, you've called me to be involved in education. How can I prepare so that when there is a problem in education, that we as believers, Bible-believing Christians, are there with an answer, not just a reaction, but proactive. Being there with an answer, being ready in season and out of season, both in prayer, but also with a plan, with actual material things in place so that when there is a challenge, we're there to answer that thing. Those are the kind of things that we as the church need to rise to. It's a day where we need to grow in our maturity beyond these petty conflicts that we have with each other in the church and say, okay, let's set those aside. Let's build bridges of understanding, just like Operation Blessing, Samaritan's Purse, Salvation Army, work together in that area of disaster relief and so forth, what other areas can the church come together in the media, in law, in government, across society to say, okay, let's network together, let's find ways to work? I remember I had served for about 10 years on the Internet Evangelism Coalition Executive Board, and that's a group of several different ministries who recognize the power of the Internet to share the gospel. And one of the people on that group, his whole purpose was to watch for ways that churches and ministries could work together and not be reproducing the same things. And he saw this all around the world, where ministries around the world would put thousands, tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars into these programs for the Internet, when another ministry in another part of the world was doing the very same thing. And so he started to combine these groups and say, okay, how can you work together? How can, instead of you all spending the same amount of money, maybe you can join forces and you can each spend half the amount of money and spend the other half of the amount of money on something else that will be a blessing to the community and build the kingdom of God. Those are the kind of synergistic relationships that we need to be recognizing, and we need to be looking for ways to say, all right, how can we work together? Can we, all right, I bring my part, like Operation Blessing. One of their things that they are so strong is that they've got this fleet of trucks, and so they will bring the trucks. And then Samaritan's Purse, they have these trained evangelists, so they'll bring their evangelists, and they'll bring the medical team. And then Salvation Army will bring the actual medical supplies and the food and different things. So each group will bring its part, and by doing that together, the body of Christ, each member plays its part, and we represent the head, who is Jesus, and that's what he wants on all levels of society and in all levels of the church.
I have a dream. I mean, imagine that, Craig, really, if the church...
Amen.
I mean, sometimes it takes crisis for us to come together, but what if it didn't? What if you considered whatever market you're listening, whatever state, city you're listening in right now, if your church has crossed denominational lines in a non-crisis time and just said, how can we help? How can we work together to help the needs of the city? What is the prevailing issue? Is it... I mean, I know in the Twin Cities, heroin overdoses are just in epidemic proportions, you know? You think about, can we get together and pray? But what if, let's just picture this. So you get together, you pray, you start to build some trusted bridges, and then, God forbid, a crisis does happen in your city, you've already got a bridge built. I mean, you can be expediting the help because you're already pleasing the heart of God by coming together. I mean, these are things we can do. And I remember when Sarah Groves, you know, she's a good friend, she's been on the show several times, but she talks about when she was lamenting over the suffering in the world and why God allows some of this hard, hard stuff, and thinking of slavery, trafficking, and these natural disasters. And Gary Haugen, she's reading his book, and he was saying, I used to ask, you know, where is God when I look at the suffering? But he says, I now ask a different question. I ask, where are God's people? And she,
Amen.
Like, dropped the book, and she ran down, and she said, Troy was watching TV, and she stood in front of him, and she said, we have to do something, because Katrina had just happened. She goes, you have to go help out for Katrina. And he's like, I have to go help? Well, long story short, they filled their tour bus with, I think, diapers and a bunch of things. They drove down there, and they saw these people with these giant warehouses. Like, one was like a church about to be built, and they turned it into a storehouse, basically, of diapers and supplies. And she says to me, with,
I saw it.
Yeah, she said to me with tears in her eyes, she said, I've seen heaven storehouses. I know what they look like because they were there. And it gave me goosebumps because I thought, these are people who are planning ahead because they were listening to the Lord. And if there's not a charge for us in that, we're missing it, you know?
Absolutely. One of the stories that we share in Praying the News is of a town called Manchester, Kentucky, where it was so overrun by drugs. You talk about the heroin problem, and I've seen it in my community. I've seen it with my friends. My best friend's son died of an overdose a year ago. And so it is a rampant across the country. But in Manchester, Kentucky, the church came together, and they said, we've had enough. And so they organized a rally where all the churches organized their people. They carried banners. And they walked through a drizzling rain in the cold to the city square, and they all knelt down in the mud, and they repented of their sins and said, God, come and heal our land. Hear our prayer. We turn from our wicked ways, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. And an amazing miracle happened, and all of a sudden, there were these drug dealers were being pushed out of town. The crime went way down. The community came together in all kinds of amazing ways. We chronicle that in the Praying the News book. But this is an example of what you're talking about, how Sarah Groves and others have been leading to say, let's gather the community together and say, how can we build bridges? How can we pray together? How can we serve together? And when the church rises up, the Bible says that when the church, when my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will heal their land.
And that's amazing. I remember reading that story in a couple of different accounts of it, Craig, and I thought it was amazing. As people got down on their knees and repented, a sense of conviction came on everybody. And so some of the drug dealers felt this deep conviction. I don't even know if they were there. And they outed some of the corrupt law people that were looking the other way while they did their deals. And some of the corrupt law enforcement people felt convicted, and they pointed out the drug dealers, and they both were moved out, and there was just a whole new revival in that town, and we can do that.
It was truly a revival, and that can happen when the church comes together in humility and in unity.
Mm. And that's the call. And as you think, you know, that after 9/11, there was such a strong response. Churches were filled with people praying. We've got a National Day of Prayer tomorrow. But then look at this dissent. Look at the hard-heartedness. Look what has happened in 14 years to our nation. I mean, truly, this nation has thumbed its nose at God. And how can we do that without consequence? And so now we need to be praying, Lord God, in your wrath, remember mercy. Would you pray for our nation, Craig, as we close today's program?
Yes, Father, we come to you right now, and we humble ourselves before you, saying, we recognize in ourselves that we are sinners and that we have missed the mark and that we have failed, that we have not walked in unity, that we have spoken wrongly of our brothers and our sisters. And so, Father, we pray that you would have mercy on us, forgive us. But when we step out in this area, Lord God, we pray that you would give us humility and grace to find ways to link arms together with other believers, to link arms together with the officials in our community, to find ways to be proactive and not always reactive to the problems in our society. And I pray, Lord God, that even right now, as people are listening to my voice, that you are putting on their hearts a call that will be a call for the rest of their lives, Lord God, to take one of these mountains that you are leading them to by your Holy Spirit, show them the way to go, confirm to them in the mouth of two or three witnesses what it is you are calling them to do, and then guide them into the place for them to get the training they need, and then launch them into that place. Lord, there are people at different points in that spectrum right now, and wherever they are, equip them, strengthen them, encourage them, and fill them with the joy of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So, Lord, as they spend time in your presence, your word says, in your presence is fullness of joy. Fill them with that joy, and then send them forth to be lights in their community.
In Jesus' name, amen. Hour 2 is up next. Don't go away. We'll be right back.